If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Dr. Eileen Marty joins us now from Florida International University. Dr. Marty, good morning. Last time we talked, we were discussing fluoride, and I didn't have a chance to ask you about adults. We were talking about kids, but I started wondering after our talk about the fluoride that's in toothpaste, the fluoride that's in drinking water out of the faucet. What do we know about that? Any concern there?
Well, first of all, the fluoride that's in toothpaste and soap, and you know, you're taking it in externally, not systemically. In other words, you're not swallowing it. That's purely helpful. It's going to, as long as it's, you know, it's within. There's always that bit of the Goldilocks amount for fluoride as there is for anything else. But yeah, generally what's in toothpaste, it just allows that fluoride to get incorporated in hydroxyapatite crystals of your enamel and makes your enamel that much stronger. It also counters the effect of those bad bacteria that cause cavity by changing the pH. So it's actually very, very beneficial to have fluoride toothpaste and even fluoride rinses, especially if they're done by your dentist. That's all great. In terms of fluoride in your water, what the safe levels are have been for more than 80 years of testing shown that 0.7 parts per million is perfectly safe Goldilocks region, which is very good for especially growing teeth. So you asked about adults. Well, obviously, if you haven't, you have to think about your wisdom teeth and whether or not you're going to keep them or not. If you're going to be keeping your wisdom teeth, then you want to be certainly making sure that you get some systemic fluoride. But after all your teeth have popped, as you were, then you don't need that systemic fluoride like you do when you're a growing person and you're growing new teeth, right? At the same rate. That's pretty much the answer to that question.
And this FDA review of prescription fluoride supplements for kids at risk for tooth decay, have they released any findings from that yet?
The only problem is that they're using one particular Cochrane review that its exclusion protocol negates most of the really excellent work that has demonstrated the value of systemic fluoride. And even after they did that, they found that it was still beneficial to have systemic fluoride for growing teeth at these 0.7 parts per million with no evidence of any problems, neurologic problems or otherwise, so long as we were below 1.5 parts per million. And you can see that there's a big difference between the 0.7 parts per million that's recommended in our water and 1.5 parts per million. So that's the answer to that question.
Let's move on to some very interesting research done in the UK. And these scientists determined that during the pandemic years, people's brains showed signs of aging. What do you make of this?
Yeah, that is a very interesting study with a huge cohort of people. Let's talk about all the ways in which the COVID pandemic affected people. First of all, obviously, those who were directly infected had direct damage some damage to our blood vessels. How rapidly we were able to repair that damage has an impact in our aging throughout our body, including neurologic function, right? Because practically every neuron in your brain is surrounded by its own capillary system. It's so necessary, just like your heart is, you know. And as those particular organs age more, that's going to have a real effect. But that's physical effect. Now, this study was about the effects on people who didn't have symptoms. And one of the things you have to consider is, what did being away from people, the lack of socialization, have in terms of our aging potential? And that's a real mechanism that has to be taken into consideration. Plus, there was increased substance abuse. There was reduced exercise. So if you put those mental health issues, the reduced exercise, the social isolation, and the increased substance abuse together – you start to understand why a certain percentage of people did in fact have that aging.
And they had the aging whether they got COVID or not. Is that right?
Well, whether they met, yes. Remember, thinking about COVID as being the disease, right? Symptoms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they may have gotten SARS-CoV-2 in their bodies and not had symptoms, right? Right. So this study does not distinguish between being symptomatic or having the virus in your body.
And what do you know about COVID causing some people to get a severe sore throat?
Oh, yes. So that is a particular version of the SARS-CoV-2 virus that is causing roughly about 30% of the cases right now. So that we call it COVID razor blade throat. And it is definitely extremely significant. You certainly feel terrible. And what's going on there is that it's binding really, really well to the ACE2 receptor, and it's causing a lot of destruction of mucosal cells in your pharynx. And because of that destruction, you obviously are going to get inflammation, and it's just going to hurt very badly, right?
Yeah.
And in addition to that, they're going to be releasing chemical mediators that are making your nerves even more sensitive to that damage. And that is the reason behind that. So it's the NB.1.8.1 variant, which is nicknamed Nimbus. That's the one that's been mostly associated with this razor blade throat. And as I said, it's prevalent here. It's also prevalent in Europe. It may spread.
Dr. Eileen Marty, another reason I enjoy talking to you is because you make us smarter. Next time I have a sore throat, I'm not going to describe it that way. I'm just going to say, you know, my mucosal cells in the pharynx seem to be acting up a little bit, and people will really be impressed. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday. Thank you.